rejoice and be glad in it. We're certainly grateful for your continued support of this inspirational moment that happens each Tuesday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we're certainly grateful for your continued support. We have two platforms that we're using. We are on Facebook Live, and we're also doing our phone call-in. And so we thank God for each of you who are available this morning as you're making your way and preparing for what yet lies ahead. And we have so much to be thankful for. You would agree with me on that. God has been faithful. He's been kind. He's looked beyond our faults, and he's gotten right to our needs. And so here we are. We have another opportunity to yet give him praise on this, the 11th day of April. And need I remind you that God is still on the throne and that all power is within his hands. And even if we're going through a rough patch or a season of uncertainty, we can still hold on to God's unchanging hand. Even if we're faced with health issues or we're trying to deal with the loss of a loved one, or we're just trying to get on track with our vision and our mission and our witness for the Lord, God is not forsaken. God is not forgotten, but God is yet working on your case. So be encouraged even today, and know that God loves you, and he loves you so much that he won't leave you where you are. Somebody ought to say amen. And so let me give you the playback number for those who will listen to this message later by playback. It's 605-475-3228. That's 605-475-3228. You know, I'm still in resurrection mode, if you will. I'm still excited about everything that has happened just this past week, Holy Week experience, Resurrection Sunday, Palm Sunday, all wrapped up into one. And God moved in a powerful and a mighty way. We finished our fast for those who participated and are members of ATOP this past Saturday. And did not God show himself strong in the worship experience on Sunday? And God continues to add to the church daily, such as should be saved. And we're grateful for those who were able to come, families join, couples join. I tell you, it was just a powerful move of God's presence in the place, even getting ready this Sunday to baptize. And so we're just excited. And it was good to see the numbers in worship as well as online this past Sunday. And I tell you, the question that we probably need to raise, what's now? What next? What's next? Where do we go from here? You know, I always believe that the resurrection moment, the Holy Week experience, everything that we celebrate is not just an event, but it ought to be an experience for us, because it puts us back in focus in terms of all that God has done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And so we ought not ever lose sight of the fact that when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, even the Christ, that that's the cornerstone of our faith. And we ought not allow it to be just an event, but it should be an everlasting experience, just like in the case of these disciples and those whom Jesus had left behind as he taught and as he preached to them during his earthly ministry. And he was, in fact, empowering them. And you know what? Jesus gave his ministry away. That's what he was really equipping them for. And so the question then becomes, what now? What next? What's next? What do we do after this, Pastor? Do we just go back to business as usual? No, I would dare say not, because we have so much in front of us And this just gives us the momentum and the boost, if you will, to get even more excited about the challenges that lie before us. In fact, we find in John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, and I'll just lift up some of those verses because it's a powerful segment here that really helps us to stay focused and to stay centered and to understand the power and the presence of the resurrection and how God has so prepared us even after we go through this experience ourselves, that is for a reason and that we need to keep focused in our efforts in terms of the ministry that he's called forth for us to do. It's not a time to put our guards down. It's not a time to relax and go back and be at ease in Zion. But listen to what it says in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, around verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. So, you know, they had locked themselves up. They were afraid. They were locked up behind closed doors. Jesus had already commissioned some of the disciples, but Thomas was not with them. As a matter of fact, if you go back to around verse number 19, Jesus commissioned the apostles. He breathed on them. He told them to receive the Holy Spirit, and he asked them to forgive each other of their sins. And he said to them, "If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And so he was telling them to release all of the excess baggage and the excess luggage that you're carrying, but make sure that you forgive. And he gave a vivid example of what it meant to forgive, even on the cross. But here it is, some 8 days later, and Thomas is finally in the room. And in these 8 days, Thomas was with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, so they're still in hiding, and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be unto you." Then he said to Thomas, he said, "Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, this is verse number 29, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Isn't that something? And so here's the key. And there's so much in here, and I might even use this as part of my focus for Sunday, but the Lord is, I'm trying to get discernment from the Lord even as I talk to you today. Here's the key. Many times after we have had a high time in the Lord, we want to settle down. We want to center ourselves. And some of us go back to business as usual, because even after this marvelous experience, Thomas was still in doubt. Thomas was still having difficulty. Thomas was still unbelieving. And he wanted to make sure that he saw it before he believed it. And so it is with so many of us. We get to a place in our life and on this journey that we don't really want to believe it until we see it, till we have it in our hands. But Jesus is saying in verse number 29, he says, Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed." But he says, watch this, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And so we have to have the kind of faith, we have to have the kind of belief in what God has done in our lives that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that even if we don't see it, that he's going to do and perform exactly what he said he would do. Many times we don't see God moving in our lives. We don't see the answers to our prayers, and we want to give up, we want to throw in the towel. We want to go back to business as usual. But can I encourage somebody today that in spite of what you don't see, the Bible is clear that we walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody say amen. And so you have to still trust the timing of God. And even if you don't get a chance to do what Thomas did, you got to stand on the promise, even when you don't have the possession. And so I just want to encourage you today not to go back and start doing the same old thing and get back into a rut, get back into a funk, if you will, and go back to doing business as usual. But make sure, my brother, make sure, my sister, that you allow the resurrection experience to be a launching pad for you, if you will, to help you to move forward, to help you to thrust forward into the ministry that Jesus has left for us to do. Because John's gospel is a unique experience in and of itself as he describes the events that took place. But it's clear that Jesus was concerned about restoration. He was concerned about making sure that the disciples were fully equipped to continue to fulfill the destiny of the ministry that he had left for them, that they were empowered and that they would go forth and be who he had called them to be. And so it is with us. Even though there might be so much unfinished business on the table, know that God is with us, and he's promised that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He said that he'd be with us always, even until the end. So make sure, my brother, make sure, my sister, that you're on the right side of Easter and not on the wrong side, because there's no time for us to sit back and be in splendor isolation. But our witness should be high, our charge should be even greater, and we should go forth in boldness and in power, proclaiming the fact that the Lord lives and that he wants all to be saved. Well, that's our thought for today as we prepare to go into the remainder of this day. And as once again, we're certainly grateful for each of you who continues to support this inspirational moment that happens each Tuesday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And look, just keep your spiritual antennas up today, because as we always say, I believe God's going to do something special in your life, and he's going to use you to be a blessing to somebody else. The oil is still flowing, and don't let the oil dry up. My God, do not let the oil dry up, but be on the right side of Easter and go forth in boldness and in power. You have been empowered to do what God has called forth for you to do. Somebody say amen. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we thank you now for this reminder about how we must continue to carry out the ministry. You have empowered us as believers to launch out into the deep and let down our nets and to continue the unfinished business. God, we thank you for restoration. We thank you for all that you have done in spite of what we might be going through. And so, God, we pray for each person on the call today, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, who's yet trying to make sense of it all. Some have gone back to doing what they used to do. But God, we decree and declare that we're not going to go back. We're going to push forward. We're going to push forward. We're going to thrust forward. We claim victory in our finance. We claim victory in our relationships. And we believe that you're well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think. And so we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. And we thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. And now, God, just do what you do best, and we'll be ever mindful to give you all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said amen. Well, look, I hope you have a fantastic day today, and I hope you continue to be sensitive to the God using you to be a blessing, because after all, we are blessed to be a blessing. We have been saved to do some saving, and we've been loved by God to do some loving. And remember, God loves you too much to leave you where you are. All right, until next time, you be blessed.